Now, as we're thinking about these things here, we are all thinking, yes, I have done that, I have been there, I have thought these thoughts, I have walked these paths, and still nothing much happens. Nothing much happens. I meditate, and I don't hear God speaking, saying, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're so good. You know, I don't hear God saying that. And I wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? Why don't I hear God saying these things? Well, let's start thinking about how to get in contact with our divine self. We have the three-hour meditation, which I recommend to people. If you will do this three-hour meditation the way we have designed it here, and also as I will describe it to you with or without the booklet, if you will do the three-hour meditation for a period of 6 months, just the way I tell you to do it, I will guarantee you spiritual illumination at the end of the six-month period, or before. Now remember that, or before. If you will do the three-hour meditation as I describe it and as we define it, you will experience guaranteed spiritual illumination within 6 months or less. Now, Herb, how can you guarantee that? Well, I know it. It's done. I have students who've done it. Now,
so when did I guarantee you can still see me at the end of 6 months, huh?
I'm not worried. I'm not worried. You see, I guarantee this. If you will do this the way we tell you to do it here, for 6 months, every morning from 3 to 6 in the morning, oh, lost a bunch of you now, didn't we? Every morning from 3 to 6 in the morning, you do this three-hour meditation. You do not do this 3 20-minute meditations, or 3 half-hour meditations, or 3 45-minute meditations, but 3 1-hour meditations. And each one is very unlike a meditation. 3 1-hour meditations. Now, you can read Science of Mind, you can read Religious Science, you can read Unity, you can read any of the catechisms of any of the churches that exist. You can read The City of God by St. Augustine, you know, and read the works of St. Thomas Aquinas, read the works of all the geniuses that have ever lived. And every one of them says what we will say to you in this three-hour meditation. You will do it. At the end of 3 months, if you have said for 1 hour every morning, I am God, God I am, for 1 hour, and the second hour you say, why I can say I am God, well, you run out of stuff to say. Yes, you do, but I'll share with you this morning some ideas on that. And then the third hour, this is the hour of the killer, you might say. This is the hour that destroys those who are of lesser spirit. During the third hour, you listen to God in you talking to you. You listen to God in you talking to you. And I will go through that very carefully with you so that you get the feeling about it. If after the end of 6 months or before, you have done this with diligence and you have not fallen asleep once during this time, I guarantee you, you'll have spiritual illumination. The falling asleep is when you start getting bored, is when you start getting the thinking that it's not working. You got like many of you, you go into your meditation. When you go in your meditation, you say, say something to me, God, you know, talk to me, let me hear you. And instead of saying, thank you, God, I hear you. We'll talk about that now. But you see, we all want some sort of response. Now, many of you are aficionados of the New Thought movement, of the positive thinking people of today, Norman Vincent Peale and Wayne Dyer and all of these other names that you know about so well. They're beautiful people. They're beautiful people. Every one of them is great. Course of Miracles, I could ask you to raise your hands on that, and you probably all raise your hands. You've taken the Course of Miracles. Well, let me make a suggestion to you. Everything that you read inspires you and irritates you, because you read about other people accomplishing what you'd like to accomplish. You read about other people doing the things you'd like to do, and you say, why not me, you know? Well, because you have been spending time reading what other people have done. And as long as you read what other people are doing, you're not going to be doing it yourself. But Herb, you can't spend 24 hours a day on this. Oh, really? My dears, I don't recommend this, but have terminal cancer. Have terminal cancer. And I guarantee you, you can spend 24 hours a day worrying about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had a man in Detroit, Michigan, and I had a student, Joyce Collins, in Chicago, and this man was one of her students. And she says, Herb, help me. This man, looks like Tom Brown, in Michigan, is having a problem. He is dying of sclerosis of the liver. I said, wonderful. And she said, will you call him and talk to him? Sure, glad to talk to him. Tell him how wonderful it is. So I talked to him. She told me a few other things, but I talked to him. And I said, how are you doing? I hear you're dying of sclerosis of the liver. How dare you say that to me? How dare you say I'm dying of sclerosis? And, well, that's what you said. That's what the doctors say. That's what... Yeah, but who are you? You know, I said, I'm Joyce Collins' teacher. Oh, yeah, I heard about you. You know. And so he said, yeah, what do you call for? And I said, well, I just want to tell you, I have the greatest respect and delight in you as a human being. I think you are one of the noblest human beings to ever walk the face of the earth. Why is that? And I said, because your wife could be Miss Ebony. She is one of the most beautiful ladies in the world. Gorgeous, 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 you know. And you are going to die and let some other man marry. She won't marry again. Oh, don't kid yourself. I said, she's a glorious woman, and when you have given up the ghost and decided you didn't want to be a part of the family anymore, she'll find somebody else who wants to be part of the family. And she's probably got 8 or 10 guys waiting for you to die, knowing that you're going to die because you broadcast it, you know. And so the sooner you go, the better, you know. And he says, yeah. And I said, and you, I mean, you're nobility beyond nobility. You have 2 daughters who are into their teens now. They're gorgeous girls, just like their mother. And somebody else is going to come along and take credit for them. Take credit for all the work you've done in raising them as beautiful girls, as having such marvelous values and such marvelous features and such a marvelous being. They'll take credit for it. They'll be the daddy. And you just were so generous to give. And he swore at me, and he hung up the receiver. And I thought, good. I shook his boat a little bit. So the next week, Joyce called, and she said, Dr. Buddy, what did you do to this man? You know. And I said, I merely told him what you told me, you know, that his wife is, you know, gorgeous, and that his daughters are fantastic. I merely told him. And I told him what a wonderful man he was to let his wife marry someone who wanted to be around. Well, do you know He's back home now. He's completely healed. He is a wonderful husband. He is a wonderful father. He is spending time with his wife and with his daughters and having a good, in just a couple of days, he's just trying to make up for all the lost time before, and he's whole and perfect. Now you see, he had somebody shake his boat. He did the 3-hour meditation in just one night, you might say. And he woke up. He woke up to his beauty and divinity and his magnificence, you know. And he became a changed being. He had that wonderful program. He didn't have to go to Ekankar. He didn't have to go to all of these other programs that are available. They're great. And I do not belittle any program that's on the market. I only say the only program that matters is one that you're going to apply, that you're going to make work. Okay, now, in the first hour, you're saying, I'm God. And you can say, I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am. I conduct the seminar in Monterey every year with the 3-hour meditation beginning the seminar at 3 in the morning. From 3 to 6, and then we take a meditation walk after that and get ready for our breakfast and so on, then we go on with the other parts of the lectures, but every single day for 7 days, just as a working illustration, because what I'm going to say to you today, you can say, but I won't be here to say it. You're going to be saying it for yourself. But you're saying, I'm God, God I am. And you can take the Joy Song book here, and you can go in here to the first one there, and that's the first one that says, I am God, God I am. And it says that to Swing Low Sweet Charity. No, that's God's Love Deeper Than Me. I'm God, God I am. Where is it? I always have that up front. We just redid the book here. But anyhow, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God. What? The Brahms Lullaby. That's right, huh? But, oh, here it is, in the middle of the page. And, of course, it only needs one line, I am God, God I am. But on page, what is it, page 9 there. I am God, God I am. 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 Sing it for an hour, and you'll be hoarse, you know. But you don't need to be, because we're going to go into a few more points about it. Now, when you're singing, I am God, God I am, you are doing something that your brain is comfortable with. If you say, I am God, God I am, your brain says, oh boy, where did you lose your marbles? You know, what's the matter with you? Don't you realize there's only one God and that God is somewhere outside of you? You know, okay. But, oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. I lost my wife to a old doggie and stuff like that. You know, you can sing these melancholy songs and these crazy songs that don't mean a thing. And you just look at the cowboys, and you look at the cowboy singers and the cowgirl singers, and their lives are filled with misery, with divorce, with unhappiness, but they're singing these melancholy songs, and then they're wondering why their life's all going wrong. You cannot sing a melancholy song without your life going wrong. Your wife too, yeah. You cannot do that. When you sing uplifting songs, then beautiful things happen. And you don't sing about God, you sing about your creation. Oh, God bless me, God love me, God create me in the wonderful, you know, that's asking for an outside expression. You are doing this, whoosh, from the inside out. You're saying, isn't she a beautiful lady? I created her as a beautiful lady. She doesn't even know I'm talking about her. I created you. Yes. Oh, there goes my cricket. She said yes. You know,
he's going to quiz you tomorrow.
Yeah. And this is great. But you see, look at everything and say and find the beauty in it. You know, if you're having trouble, say, oh, you polish your shoes so nicely, you know. Or that stutter runs down your face so in such a straight line, you know. And, Herb, come on, now that's not. Hey, find good in it. Find good in it. And when you find good in it, all of a sudden you start looking beyond it. Because you there is always something good in anything and anybody in the world. I was, I have a lot of fun with birds and stuff like that, and with creatures of various natures. And as I have fun with them, I talk to them. And they talk back to me. And Pam and Richard,
and we had, what
are we going to do? Oh boy, we had an outdoor service on the ranch down there, the Valley of the Seven Mountains. And Pam and Richard were sitting there in this outdoor service. We had maybe about 40, 50 chairs, something like that. And Richard was on the aisle, and Pam was in from the aisle. And Richard goes like this to Pam, look, there's a rattlesnake coming right out of the woods right toward me. Pam, what is happening here? I don't like this. And Pam brings it to my attention, and she says, Herb, there's a rattlesnake here. And so I said,
I found them all out there, Jim.
Oh, you see.
They all come to visit me.
Yeah. And so we spoke to the rattlesnake, and I said, sir, this is our service now, and you're disturbing the quiet and peace of some of our people here. Please turn around and go back in the woods. You got thousands of acres out there to play in. Please just go away. And so he turned around and went away. And everybody says, wow, you know, man, do you have control over those creatures, you know. Well, what did I expect? Did I expect he was going to keep coming toward them and disturb them? No, I expected he was going to turn around. I'm the great. I found the good in it. Not that he was bad or anything. Actually, Richard probably could have reached down and petted him, but the thing is, Richard didn't feel like it at that moment. Remember? And another time, Pam and I were walking along the path up there, and Alan was running ahead of us, and he was naked running along the path and just having a great time. And there was a stick lying across the path. And Pam and I both saw it from the distance at the same time. And the stick was a rattlesnake, a big old rattlesnake.
Badwinder.
And the dogs and cats jumped over it, and then Alan jumped over it and didn't think a thing about it, you know. And Pam was going to holler out, Alan, be careful! And I, hush! Hush, 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 hush. You know, he is untouched by it. He is untouched, and he was untouched by it. He was untouched by it. By the time we got there, the guy said, I don't think they like me. So he wandered off. But you see, we are the creator of our world, and our world is what we see. Now, do we see, were you ever bitten by one?
And you know, I've got that, me and the rattlers are friends now, and they never.
Were you ever bitten by one?
Yep.
And you see, she had all this distress, and she never was even bitten by one. She didn't even have a chance to get that close and say hi. But this is what we do. We worry about things that are so distant from us. Now, when you're saying, I am God, you would object to it if you said it just in words. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I'm teaching people to do that so that they can do it, and they're doing it. But if you sing it, Your mind accepts you singing these things. Oh, you're crazy, you know, you're nuts singing, I am God, God I am. Oh, that's okay, go ahead, you know. I lost my heart, go bury me not on the lone prairie and stuff like that, or with my boots on and stuff like that. And so you're used to that. So you start singing, I am God, God I am. And you use all these wonderful words. Now, is there a song in here that would say why we can say we're God? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. That's all there is. So that's in here on page 11. But see, these are neat little things. They're neat little things to get us going on this. So now during the first hour, we say, I am God. And we say it for 1 hour. We don't get up and go to the bathroom. We don't do anything. In fact, we go to the bathroom before we sit down.
For 3 hours.
Hey, when you begin to realize that you're the master of your body, pretty soon you're untouched by it. You see, if this is a good comment, the more you concentrate on what you're doing, the more you concentrate on why. Now, for instance, you're saying, I am God, God I am. And then your mind drifts off to your wife, husband, son, daughter, mother, father, whomever, or friend. And your mind drifts off and you say, I am God. You tell them, I am God, God I am. But don't talk to them. Just tell them that you're God. And so your puppy dog comes to your consciousness and you say, I am God, God I am. Did you know that? I'm God, God I am. I am God. And you get such a good feeling inside yourself. You get such a good feeling that tells you, hey, everything's okay, you know? And do you know, if you were on a bus that didn't have a toilet, and drove for 3 hours without stopping, you could handle it very well. Why? Because you program yourself, this next stop, 3 hours away, I better not drink a lot of water, and I better not get my tanks overfilled, because there's no chance of me doing anything about it. I didn't come prepared with my special little leg urinal here, so you know, I got a plan. No, people do that. More people than you realize have leg urinals, you know, because they have problems with their organs and they don't function harmoniously. Their sphincter nerves just don't handle it, so they do this. But now, we don't need to do that. You see, we want to do everything we can to tell ourselves how perfect our body is. Now, do you think that God would have to get up and go and take a piss, you know? No way, you know? No, I don't think so either. And who's God?
I am.
Yes, 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 yes. You are God. And you see, as you continually tell yourself, I am God, God I am, you're building that up in your consciousness. You say it a little bit humorously right now, but seriously too. And that's true. That's true. The more we realize that we're God, the more we realize that we act like God. Now, how do you think God acts? How do you think God acts? Do you think God judges anybody? Not in the slightest. How could you? Now, we have, diversing for just a moment here, we have two ideas of man. One idea is man is spiritual, and the other idea is man is physical. Man is mental. And the man that's mental and physical is what? Is a human man. The man that's spiritual is the unlimited man. Okay? Now, if we think of ourselves as the spiritual man, we're unlimited. We can do anything. If we think of ourselves as a physical, human, mental man, we think of ourselves as limited. Now, why do you think of yourself as limited? Because you're wearing clothes to make yourself warm or cool. You're wearing your hair in different ways because it makes it you feel good about yourself. You touch a cold glass and you feel cold. You touch a warm glass and you feel warm. Now, does your spiritual self feel any of those things? Does it have five senses to disturb it? Not in the slightest. Now, why did you and I create a physical body with five senses? Why did we do it? Because it was fun. Now, it ceases to be fun when we start creating negative things. Now, you You can put your hand on top of the stove in the kitchen under full flame and be untouched, okay? Oh, come on now. Who can do that, huh? Well, how many of you have walked on fire? Okay. Now, a lot of people have walked on fire, and they don't think anything about it. But you know what those stupid people do after that? They walk on fire, and then they go and pick up a hot kettle off the stove and burn their hand. You know? Why? Because they do not continue with that consciousness that fire is cool, wet moss. They do not continue with that consciousness because they want the fire to heat the kettle, so it has to be hot. But now, they could... How does microwave work? Does it heat the outside or does it heat the inside? Interesting, isn't it? It heats the inside. Now, why does it have to heat it at all? You heat it because it's a pleasant taste. Do you like to eat it red hot? You can't do that. You want to eat it nice and warm, or a little warmer than warm. But you see, we have these mental ideas, and we limit ourselves by these mental ideas. And we, when we're dealing with our spiritual aspect of ourselves, our human body, our physical body, responds to whatever it is that we have in our spiritual attitude about ourselves. If we are God, then we are untouched by the human world. We can have 10,000 fall on one side and 1,000 on the other, but nothing comes nigh unto us. If you read the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, Emil is taking the author Baird Spaulding from one place to another, and a giant field fire, you know, is ablaze, and they have to cross the field. So, Baird says, we can't go through there. And Emil says, oh, would you prefer to have it air-conditioned? So he made a sort of a tunnel, and they're going through this tunnel, and it's air-conditioned. And they're walking, and this is back in the 1800s, and they're going right through this air-conditioned tunnel. Interesting, isn't it? You see, have it whatever you want it to be. Now, they could walk through that, and each one saying to themselves, I am untouched. And they would be untouched, if that's their choice. But they want to think of their human body. Now, in the book, it has Jethro laying down their body on the path to keep the tigers out of the village in India when they left their home to go and do some things. Now, what they could have merely done was just surround their village with their pure white light of love, and no tiger or any evil thing would come in to destroy the village. But, you see, the consciousness of the author and the consciousness of the experiences they were talking about are written in that way, and so they were limited to the human concepts. Now, we want to move beyond the human concept. And the way we move beyond the human concept is by saying, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. Singing it, saying it. We can walk around and sing, I am God, God I am. We can sit down. The only thing we don't want to do is to lay down. Because if we lay down and say, I am God, God I am, we're soon off in the arms of Morpheus. And we're soon asleep. And because we're soon asleep, we miss our program. Okay, stay awake. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. You're building this within yourself. You can say, 2 times 2 is 4, 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 2 times 2 is, you know, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is, you know, I do that 1,000 times. And then, 2 times 2 is 4. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When the recognition goes on in you that something is what it is, oh, yeah. Now, if the teachers in school only knew how to teach, they would get so excited about the simple fundamentals that everything else would fall into place. If you are playing marbles with a bunch of children, and the children see you all playing marbles, and they want to learn how to play too. So first you teach them how to hold the marble, then you teach them how to thumb it out of your hand, then you teach them how to aim it, and you give them these three steps: holding it, flicking it out of your hand, and aiming it. They can win every game. But if you just say, well, you do it like this here, and you know how some people, how they train people in the computer, you do it like this. You know? What did you do? How did you do that? You know, like my webmaster oftentimes shows me things on the computer. How'd you do that? Well, you don't need to know that, Herb. Well, I want to know that because if I get in trouble, I don't want to have to come down here again, you know, drive all the way in town and have you show me how to do these things. I want to know how to do it myself. Well, Herb, you're not able to know it. Now, if Sylvia were here, Sylvia's pretty good at that, but you're kind of slow. Thank you, Father. You know, and I go to visit his office as seldom as possible because I don't need anyone telling me I'm too old. I don't need anyone telling me that I'm over the hill on anything, because I'm not. Because nobody really knows what our true age really is. And nobody knows what our age is right now. And I'm 25, as I like to go by.
My age.
Of course.
I've been 25 for 25 years.
Hush. 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 You see, that makes the joke out of it. I've been 25 for 25 years, excuse me. We don't say that. I am 25 because that is how I feel right now. I feel 25 right now. I guarantee you that there are times that Miss Pamela does not feel 25. There are times that she says, oh, I'm had such a busy day, I'm so tired. And there are other times she feels like she's 13, you know. Other times she feels like a teenager, and she doesn't feel even 25. But the thing, you have not been 25 for 25 years. You are 25 right now. Now, this is a very important point for all of us to do. I'm not knocking Pam on this, Pamela. I am only saying to you that we live in the now, and the now is the only time we're working on. I am God now. I am God now. I am God now. We don't say now. But I am God now. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Not for 25 years. Or not, you know, someday in the future. Now. And you see, your mind is so used to saying, oh, you're going to take a trip? Okay. What all are you going to take along? When are you going to be leaving? Which car are you going to be driving? What route are you going to be taking? What are you going to do? Well, you see, my wife used to be a terrible one. She was always so efficient in everything. And so I'd say to her, well, sweetheart, let's go and take a trip to the Yosemite Mountain. And we'll go camping up there and have fun. Well, I haven't gone to the store. I have to buy these things. I have to do this and do this and do this. And that happened 3 or 4 times to me. And I'm not stupid, you know. So you'd think I was, of course, but I'm not. So what I did, I would come home from work, and I would have stopped at the store. I would have put all the sleeping bags and the tent and everything in the car already. The car would be totally ready. I'd stop at the store and buy all the things fresh and have the cooler along. And I'd go in the house, and I'd say, well, sweetheart, let's go up to Yosemite. But, I said, it's all in the car. No, there's no argument. I said, just grab some extra clothes. I said, I've already got clothes for you, too. But just grab some clothes you think you want, you know, and we're set to go. What could she say? I mean, I was God. I had predetermined, preordained that activity, and we did it. I let nothing stand in the way, and I knew I was ready for it. Now, are you ready to be God? Are you ready to take charge of your life? Are you ready to say to yourself, yeah, let's take a journey to the space within. And that's part of here. Let's take a journey to the space within. Now, I'm going to take this journey to the space within. No husband, no wife, no children. No dog, no cat, no goldfish. Yeah. nothing else except yourself for 3 hours each day. What I'm doing, I'm putting you into the clean room. You know what the clean room is? This is where, if you had a disease, they wouldn't want you to catch it from anybody else, but basically, the clean room means you have no immune system. Now, your immune system is designed to be careful of the kids, be careful of your husband, be careful of your wife, be careful of the cats and dogs. Your immune system lets you have them without sneezing and without doing all things dumb. Think about that. Our immune system allows us to do this. If we keep the immune system from having to do those things, then the immune system's going to be opening up to let our divinity out. Don't think you're so good you can drink any water, you know. Don't think you're so good you can eat any food. You know you get gas pains, you know. Don't think you're so good that you can smoke cigarettes and not have it affect you. Don't think you're so good and you can drink alcohol and it won't bother you. Don't think you're so good and you can do this, you know. Well, that's right. Don't think you're so good and you can do it. Think you're so good and you have no desire for it. Isn't that a much better way? Think you're so good and you have no desire for these things. You see, when you have no desire for these things, then it's not difficult at all to stay away from it. It's not difficult at all to be free of alcoholic and drugs and what have you. It's no problem at all. I had one young boy. He had been working for me in my newspapers in Atwater, California, and he was a teenager. And so I moved from one newspaper to another in Southern California, and he found out where I was, and he came and wanted to work for me on my new newspaper. And I said, well, I don't have a need for anybody right now. And so he stayed around. Well, he got himself together with some friends, and they started taking in drugs pretty heavy. And he was on that for about 6 months, and then he came to me and he says, Herb, can you help me? I said, sure. He says, I'm on drugs, and I want to get off. And I said, are you serious? Yeah. Are you real serious that you want to get off? Yep. I said, okay. He was living in some garage and stuff like that. So I said, come, I have a room in the lower level of my house. I lived on the beach there. And you can have that room, and you can live there, and you can eat with us, and so forth, and use our bathroom, what have you. So he came to our house, and he lived in that room for 3 days, and never came up to use the bathroom, never came to eat, never anything. So I said to my son, who was about 7 at the time, 8, I said, Mark, go down and tell Jim that I want him to come up and have supper with us, and if he doesn't come up, he gets out of the house. I don't want anything to do with him. So Jim came up, and he looked like the wreck of the Hesperus, you know, really bad. And I said, Jim, you go in the bathroom. There's some clean clothes in there. Take a shower, clean up. We'll wait for you. Spaghetti dinner will wait, you know. And so we waited for him. And a few minutes later, he came out all cleaned up. I said, Jim, you sit down at the table here. We will wait a moment on her tape there. So he came up after being 3 days down in the room in the lower part of the house and not having used the bathroom or not having come up for any meals. And I said, Jim, you go in the bathroom there and you clean up and take a shower and some fresh clothes in there, put them on, and then come out, have dinner with us. And he did. And he came to the table and I said, Jim, sit down here. I said, Jim, on your plate are 2 slices of bread that have been blessed. And when you eat these 2 slices of bread, they will absorb all the drugs, all the narcotics that are in your system. They will absorb all of your desire to ever take drugs again in any form whatsoever. And you will be completely without withdrawal. Absolutely. And so courteously and seriously he ate the piece of bread. And he ate the spaghetti dinner. And he was never bothered by drugs again. Never again had he any desire for drugs. Never again. He went on to create an organization to help young people become actors in the movie studios when he went from Newport Beach up to Hollywood again to work. And to this day, he is free of all these things. Now, you see, he believed in me because I had been his teacher on the newspapers. He had believed in me because he just liked me very much. And when I told him something, I didn't have to prove myself first because I'd already proven myself to him in his eyes. And he believed in me and he did it. Now, did the bread soak up all the narcotics in his system? No. Did the bread keep him from ever having to desire for it again? No. The only thing that worked, he believed that it did that. And so it did that for him. That's like a placebo. He believed that it did it, and it did it. Now, we have the idea that we cannot contact God. We cannot become one with God. We cannot meditate, and so we don't work the program. Jim worked the program. And when he worked the program, miracles happened for him. He didn't know he worked. The lady who had the $30 million and all of a sudden loved her son and her husband, as she never did before, with unconditional love, had no idea what was going to be the crooks in changing them from one direction to another. When you start saying, I'm God, God I am, you start singing it for an hour every morning, privately to yourself. Walk down the street. Do anything you like to do. Go swim in the river. Or whatever. But just say, I am God. God I am. 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 And the reason you say, I am God. God I am, because it lends itself to harmony. I am God. God I am. 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 And we have people singing this in the most interesting ways. But you're putting the words in there. You're putting the words in them. Now, if we could have our teachers in school teach the enthusiasm for doing anything first, the rest of it would come very simply. You know, like the kids learning how to play marbles. They have the enthusiasm, they watch them play, oh boy, oh boy, and then you give them the few basic rules, and then you encourage them each dumb time they mess up, you know. Say, you're coming along, just keep out of there, you're doing just great, you know. And then pretty soon they do just great. But they don't believe they can't do it. They believe that this is just fun. Hey, I'm not proving this to anybody, I'm just having fun. And then they start doing it wonderfully. Now you see, this is what we want to do when we say, I am God, God I am. We want to say, I like being God. I like expressing myself as God this way. It is a great thing to do, and it is a wonderful thing to do. It is a wonderful thing to do, to say, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. But we have to be the teacher for ourselves. And the teacher says, yes, that's true. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I am God. You don't need to say why. That comes later. Just, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I feel so good about this. I feel so right about this. I feel so strong about this. Everything is in perfect harmony. It's such a glorious thing. I feel so good about this. Now, after the first hour, you may want to take a pause and go to the bathroom or something, but try not to plan on it. Plan on always just going straight through the 3 hours. But if you have to go, go. Don't argue. If you have to get up in the middle of it and go to the bathroom, go ahead. That's okay. You can have a glass of water sitting next to you just to wet your lips, and maybe have a throat lozenge to wet your throat while you're saying these words and having such a good time saying them. But just practice it, practice it, practice it, and you'll see that wonderful things will happen for you. Now, that's the first hour. I am God, God I am. I'm God, God I am. And after the first hour, then you go into the second hour. Now, the second hour is, why can I say I am God? And you think to yourself, I haven't the vaguest idea. You know? I haven't, yeah, just because you is, yeah. But I haven't the vaguest idea how I could say that to be convincing to anybody but me. Well, let's just look at it this way. You, as God, created this physical body, this mental body, this spiritual body. You as God created it. Do you think that one universal God that in its allness created all the bodies on earth and all the bodies in the universe? It did. But it's hard for us to conceive that. So we like to think that we as God created this for us as we did. And we did. We as God, before we had this body blossom forth on this dimension, or any body on any of the millions of dimensions that we're on, but on this dimension, we as God created this body to have fun with. Now, you go into the amusement park, and you're going in there, and you're going to have fun. And you say to yourself, which ride shall I take? You know? And so you say, I'm going to take the ride that is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to take the wild ride. And you go upside down and spin around. Yeah. And you say, but before I do that, I want to take a few of the lesser rides. The merry-go-round and a few things like that, you know?
Right.
And so you get on the merry-go-round, but you chose it. Now, each of those rides is like a life. And you chose each ride because of the joy you think it's going to give you. And then you've gone through all the rides except the exciting ones, and you think to yourself, am I ready for the exciting? I know nothing's going to happen to me, you know? I know they're okay. I know I can handle it. I know it's all right. But do I want to shake my boat that much, you know? And so your friend comes along and says, come on, let's go on the ride. And you say, all right. And so then you go, and you're in the roller coaster, and you look down the first steep slide, and you say, why did I do this? You know, and zoom, you know, your heart and your mouth, and you just feel, man, I'm crazy, why did I do this, you know? And then the next time it becomes easier and easier and easier. Well, if you would stop and think about it, the first ride, the merry-go-round, which you might say is the simplest one, was exciting for the little kids too. Oh, I'm riding on a horse going up and down, you know. He's on a pole, you know. And it's going in a circle and the music is playing and it's wonderful. But you see, even then, at that level of your consciousness, that was a thrilling ride too. And then each successive ride that you take is a thrilling ride, but with a little more thrill to it. Well, this is how we are as we choose the dimensions of life. We choose it that is most exciting. Say, for instance, you're going to play a game of chess, and you learn how to play chess. You play chess with somebody who lets you win so that you feel like it's a lot of fun, and you play it. Then you become a great chess master. And so you have 24 people here, and you're playing 24 games of chess. You say, oh my God, who could ever do that? Easy. How? One at a time. One at a time. I play a game with her, and I listen to her heart. I know exactly what she's going to do. I see her movements on the board, I see where her chessmen are, and I see what I want to do. And so I make this move, and she, oh, I didn't think you were going to do that, you know. And I go to the next one, and each one, I didn't think you were going to do that. They're begeistered, they're amazed at what's coming out. They're so surprised, but that's the joy of it. Now, she beats me. She beats me. That simple I'm a skilled person, and she beats me, you know? That's not fair, but I don't care. I don't care. I just go on playing, or I cut out and go on to another direction. Because I wanted to come here to be beat, to show me why was I beat. Why did anyone know why she beat me? Either I let it happen or what?
I made it happen.
Well, you made it happen, that's true. But I wasn't paying attention. I did make it happen by not paying attention. But you see, you can always win every game that you play in life because you know the outcome of it before you go into it. And you do. You know the outcome of every game in life because you're God. And you know exactly what you're going to do. Now, when you say, why can I say I'm God? Because I'm the creator of my world. I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but I enjoy this experience now and then. I'm walking down the street on a cloudy day, and I say, it's me, son, come on, shine through. And the sun shines through just on me. Has that ever happened to you? The sun shines through just on me, and I'm walking along, and it keeps shining on me. I say, thank you, you know, and I created that. Thank me, I did that, but I say thank you, you know. And I say thank you for shining down on me, because I create you shining, and I want you to know that I like my creation. Okay, now, how many of you had a rattlesnake crawling toward you, and you said, turn around, go away? I could tell you six stories like that, at six different locations, at six different times, and it works. And I was not concerned about the rattlesnake, but the thing is, other people in the group that I was lecturing to, they were concerned. And so I would just say, rattlesnake, turn around, go away. And these women were sitting on the bench at the Rock of Enoch, and it's a long time ago. And the Rock of Enoch was a beautiful story, the story of Enoch on the mountain path. And there was a bench there, an old split log with some logs holding it up. And there's always people who have to sit down. And so these three ladies sat on the bench. And they heard a rattlesnake rattle behind them. But now, this is stupid. You don't fall toward trouble, you fall away from it, you know. But they fell right toward where the noise was coming from, the rattlesnake. And they were just very frightened, and they wanted to get up so quick, you know. I said, hey, he's already gone. He's already gone, don't worry about it. And then from the distance he rattled again. He says, boy, you people sure make a lot of noise up here. I said, nice quiet place, then you guys come along. But, you know, I know what the rattlesnake's thinking. And he's not thinking something bad. He's not thinking anything at all. He's just being himself and having fun. That's why he created himself in this dimension in that particular way. Now, these ladies created themselves in that dimension. And so I said, okay, ladies, you're in charge. Relax now. So then we walked further down the path. He's still around here someplace. And then he rattled. You know? They created him. They wanted him. But it was a game they played. Were any of them hurt? Not in the slightest. Their dignity, perhaps, falling over backwards like that. But otherwise, not disturbed in the least. You see, when we realize that we're the creator of our world, and we create every little experience, everything. So, I'm God. Why can I say I'm God? Because when I want a sunny day, there's a sunny day. When I want to feel good, I feel good. If I wake up in the morning feeling sickly, and I say I wake up in the morning feeling sickly, I will wake up in the morning feeling sickly and be sick. If I wake up in the morning feeling sickly, and I wake up in the morning and I say I'm whole and perfect, I live in my ideal, spirit, mind, and body, my body is fantastic, I feel great, wonderful. And so it is, you see. Whatever I choose to create, I can create. I can create the contrary, or I can create the positive, whichever is my choice. It doesn't really matter what I create. Whatever I want to create, I can create. I am God. I can say I'm God because I am the creator of myself. Now, true, this is all just the mundane earth experience that I have created. But that's a good start, isn't it? It's a very good start. It's a good start of saying, hey, I'm in charge of this world. and I'm in charge of my other worlds. I'm in charge of all the worlds that I choose to create, and there are many of them. Now, I have friends who call, and they say, I want to be on the prayer treatment list at the Worldwide Healing Ministry, and I say, fine, you're on. And they say, I've got these problems. I said, don't you dare mention your problems. You just tell me the solutions you want, and I will see that it's done in my heart right now. If you tell me the problems, I got to wash the problems out of my mind, and then speak my word for whatever it is that you want that's important to you. Oh, and she says, well, who do you think you are, God? I said, yes, I know I am, and so are you. Sai Baba is over in India. You'll all heard of him, perhaps. And he's a great guy, and he's got a big following. He's got thousands and thousands of people in his ashram. And visitors would come to him and they'd say, Sai Baba, since you're God, tell us. And Sai Baba would say, just a minute, I know I'm God. And you are too, but you just don't know it. And you see, that's the step. We want to get over the hump. We want to get over the hump of not knowing that we're God. And so, could anything, could you create a human being to do what you do? Could you create an animal to do what an animal does? Could you create a fish to do what a fish does? You can, and you do all the time. But you don't take credit for it. I tell the girls in the monastery, I say, now look, whenever people call for a treatment and they are healed, you did it. Yes, it's true, they accepted it and they claimed it for themselves and they did it for themselves. But in your mind, first you did it. First you saw them whole and perfect, and then they could be whole and perfect. If you saw them sick, even if they said they were whole and perfect, you'd say, yeah, it'll come back. It'll come back. Yeah, that's something that, just because you got the cancer cut out, that doesn't mean they got it all. There's always something. Ooh! You see? God doesn't talk like that. God doesn't talk that I can't do things completely, you know? God only says, all is in order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. I am God because I consider all is in divine order. I am God because when I walk down the path in the morning and the stones on the path, I don't touch them. My feet don't even know they're there. You know, have you ever stepped on a stone with a barefoot right in your arch? You know? And there's stones all over the path. And my feet just go right where they're not. Why? Because I'm God. Now, why are you here today? You are here today also because you know that you're God. And you merely want to get some more ammunition as to why you can say you're God. Now, why can you say you're God? You say you're God because that's all there is, you know? Now, what does it mean to be all there is? Does it mean that there was anything else? Does it mean that there, well, during the School of the Master I run at the university campus, once every 3, 5, 6 years, something like that. And I have anywhere from 18 to 20 people at the School of the Master. And they come to the campus and they live there. And the first thing that they're told is that you and I are there alone. The other 19 people, there are no other 19 people. There's nobody else there. Just you and me. We are alone on campus. So when you open the door, you close it. Because there's nobody behind you. Even if there's people behind you, but you don't close it because it is, you don't not close it because there are people behind you, because you don't know there are people behind you. And we're sitting at the table, having our meals, and I say, I'd like a glass of water. So these people get up and bring me 19 glasses of water. And they're all stashed around in front of me on the table. I don't need the 19 glasses of water, of course. But they need to know that each of them is alone with me. Each of them is alone with me. And they came pretty close to that. Now, if they had, in the 3 solid months, 24 hours a day, done everything I asked them to do without any hesitation, they would have experienced some rather remarkable things. But they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that because they were too much otherness oriented. They're too much oriented that there is another person there, you know. They'd take a piece of cake and they'd say, well, I don't want to take it all. Why not? Well, somebody else might want, there's nobody else here. Eat it all. If you want to eat it all, eat it all. If you want to eat a little piece, eat the amount that you want to eat. Don't save it for somebody else. And so then they eat the amount that they want to eat, and I take the cake and I throw it in the trash. Oh, what did you do? Well, you ate what you wanted, yeah? But I could have eaten the rest too, you know. You didn't have to throw it away. And you see, that's tough. That's tough. But if you're going to teach a principle, you have to teach it with very strong terms. If you're going to teach the principle to yourself, as I'm suggesting you do here, you have to teach it with some pretty strong terms. Now, I am God. I created the tidal wave coming in and killing people. What kind of God are you that creates a tidal wave coming in and killing people? I am God, and I create the earthquakes that swallow up people, houses, buildings. I am God, and I create the forest fire. Whoosh! Burning up tremendous acreage in cities and towns, and on and on. I am God, and I create the nice stuff, too. Yeah. Did you ever think about the little boy who was playing out in the yard, and it's in mud puddles, the rain, you know rain. And so he's playing there with his little leaves and sticks, and he has an island there, and he has the people, and he has the ants as being the people and so forth. And then his mother says, sweetheart, come on in, time for supper. Okay. So he looks at his creation. He says, yeah, very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he jumps up in the air with his feet, lands kaplotch right in the middle of his puddle, washing away his bridges, washing away his people, washing away his ships and his boats and his piers. And he says, and so it is. And then he goes in the house. Now, you say, well, we can't do that. That's not nice. That's not nice to other people. Well, is it or isn't it? You see, if you're going to take the concept that you're God, you got to take the concept that you're going to do one very faithful thing. You're going to wash everybody else off the face of the earth, as there's nobody else but you, and you are God. Now you say, well, that's tough. I don't want to be in a world without other people in it. Well, okay. There's nobody else on the face of the world but you and your God. What are you going to do? You would like to have some people to play with, so then you create them. Now, are you going to create them Nazarenes or Jehovah's Witnesses or spiritualists, or what are you going to create them, you know? What are you going to create these people? What sort of imagery are you going to have these people live by? Oh, well, I want all these people to be like we are, you know, what our philosophy is. And you say, okay, do you really want that? Is that going to be enough spice in your life? Or do you need to have these people from all these other organizations and other teachings to be in your life to give you a little more imagination? You see, when you're being a master, when you're learning to walk your spiritual path, when you're learning to recognize that you're God, then you're taking responsibility for everything you create. Now, here's a whole bunch of bad boys, and they're really bad boys. And you look at the boys, and you say, hi, guys. And they all the naughty stuff they do. And then you say to them, do you know, I have been watching you boys at play, and you are geniuses. You are wonderful. I have watched the way you have handled yourself, and you are, and then you go on and on and on, blessing them. And I noticed that the way you put your toys, you put them all in an order. you know, your little trucks that you're playing in the sand, or if they're older boys, the way they park at the street corner or whatever, but something like, but you find some good in them, seriously, and you speak this to them, and when you speak this to them, they instantly feel good about themselves, and they instantly feel good about you, because you have seen in them what others have not, because they felt they had to rebel, they had to be against everything. And so then, little by little, the boys say, hey, I know your yard needs cleaning up, would you mind if we did it? Be my guest. But I certainly want to pay for it. No. We want to do it because there's something about you. And what is it that's about me? Well, I don't know. It's something about you. You know, they don't know. They can't say, well, you saw the good in us when others just saw us as a terrible kids, because we were terrible kids, you know. And you saw beyond the appearances with us, and they can't say that. They don't have vocabulary or words to say that. You don't either. You didn't realize what you're doing. You were just being nice to them because nice was your nature. Nice is who you are. And so, thereby, you as God are creating the world about you in exactly the imagery that you choose for yourself. And that's what it is. I was telling her about my lesson in horseback riding the other night. I was with this lady from Minneapolis who had horses, and she wanted me to ride with her. She's one of the students. And I said, okay. I had ridden a little bit on straight level ground, you know. And so she went ahead of me, and she was jumping over the fences, you know, on her ranch there. And I was hanging onto the saddles, jumping over the fences too. And after a while, it became a little easier, but I was still hanging on for all my life. And then she says, oh, you ride so well. Oh, you know. And she says, I want you to ride with Fox and Hounds with me next weekend. I said, okay. So I went out there, and again, we went over these fences and over these fences. And every time we went over the fences, it was easier and easier. And so then I decided to take lessons. But you see, she saw in me the genius that she was. She's 83 now, and she bought herself a new horse for her birthday. I mean, what a fabulous woman. And this is the way you want to live. This is the way you want to do it. But she always did one thing that I haven't quite gotten accustomed to. She would go in the newspaper and clip coupons. She is worth $3 billion, but she'd go in the newspaper and clip new coupons before she'd go and buy her groceries. She'd done that all her life. That was important to her. You see, she couldn't give up that little habit because that was a joy. Because it reminded her of when she was a child and she went to buy things at the store. It reminded her of other things, but I was thinking, you cheap old lady, you know, what's the matter with you, you know, doing these silly things. Give the coupons away if you must, but, you know, otherwise, no. But that's her way. That's her way. And every one of us has to be our way. And so I didn't create her in my world anymore because I don't clip coupons. Nothing wrong with clipping coupons, but when I want something, I buy it. When I don't want something, I don't buy it just because the coupon is there. And when I want something, I buy the quality that I want because I am God and I only put in me what I feel is quality. I only put in me what I feel is the finest and the best. And the clothing that I wear is casual. It's usually much more casual than even this. But I do not choose to be all dressed up like a clothes horse. I even brought a suit along for your television show. But normally, I had my own television show in Atwater, El Centro, for a number of years. And I never wore a suit. And it was always just great. So, you see, when you want to say, I'm God, why I can say I'm God, you want to say all sorts of neat things. You want to say all sorts of neat ideas that are going to make you feel comfortable with saying you're God. Do you create anything? Did this little boy decide he was going to cause a tremor in his world when he jumped in the puddle and all of his people and his boats and everything else flew away? But they were pretend. Really? Really? Are you so wise, and you are, that you can take a microscope and look at a drop of water from a glass of water you're going to drink, and you look at the, what's going on, and, my God, I'm drinking that, you know? Do you realize how many worlds are around us that we don't even know about? And that every time you breathe in, you're breathing in maybe about 2 or 3 million people on another dimension of time and space and world, and you're breathing them out. You see, you're God. You've created all these things. And they're wonderful. They're really wonderful. Now, this is important. Why can I say I'm God? I had our lady in Nigeria who is practicing this very well. And she says, Herb, I want to take the course of the University of Healing. And I don't have any money. Actually, they had a lot of money, but they didn't have money to get out of the country. She says, and I want to pay for the course because I believe it's worth it. And I'm going to pay for the course. And I said, Sybil, whatever you want to do, I'm working with you. So what happened? She has a sister living in England, and the sister says, my sister wants to take the course, here's the money. She's a nurse in a hospital there, a very successful lady, but she paid for it. And then she paid for her other, the sister's daughter to take it, and a few other people, but she's just like them. And I said, Christy, I said, why don't you take it? She said, well, I haven't time, I have so much to do. I said, Christy, you're living the philosophy. Take the course and understand what you're doing so you can do it on purpose, you know. And so she's taking it now, and she's doing it on email and doing everything just beautiful. But you see, the woman in Africa had no way of knowing how the course was going to be paid for, but she wanted to pay for it. She wanted to take it. And it was there, because she's God. She created it being there. And then she wanted to have a church. So she created her home being called the Villa of God Unlimited, you know. Quite a charming name. A big wall around it, and she lives in there with her husband and a few of her children, all grown. And her husband's family all live outside of the wall with dirt roof, dirt floored houses and so forth. And we went around to visit each one of them. And as we went around to visit them, we blessed them. And we told them that they're whole and perfect. We told them they're wealthy, they're independently wealthy. And so what happens? Little by little, they're coming around with their beautiful new cars. They're coming around with their cell phones. Everybody's got to have a cell phone. And they're wealthy because we, as God, saw them wealthy. Or let's see, there I go to the we again. I, as God, saw them wealthy. You know? We have to take, I have to take the credit. I cannot go saying we. If I go saying we, then you're a better treater than I, and I want you with me because your treatments always work. My treatments work. And I've got to believe in my treatments, because if I don't believe in my treatments, I shouldn't be doing it. I worked in Silent Unity for many years and was a student minister there and so forth before I went out and had a church and stuff like that. But in Silent Unity, we had one crackerjack of a lady who was really terrible. Her name was Mae Rowland. And she was the old Gestapo. She was a terrible lady. She made all of us do things her way. We had to file correctly. We couldn't make mistakes. We had to type letters to people who were calling in for healing needs. And we had to start out with the envelopes. First, we typed envelopes. When we were able to type for one solid week envelopes without making one mistake, then we could go on to the next. That teaches you to type. That teaches you to really pay attention to what you're doing. And then when you start, this is before the day of automated letters. And so we had to type every letter by hand on a manual typewriter with the name of the person in there and the several places that it was put, and then type that form letter. And we could not make any mistakes, no erasures. If you have more than 3 or 4 sheets in the wastebasket at the end of the week, you're not allowed to continue your training as a Unity minister. I mean, she was tough. We hated her. but we learned so much from her that throughout our life she has been a blessing. She brought forth the God in us that we didn't know. We didn't know we could type perfect, you know? We didn't know we could be so good. We didn't know, but she knew. She knew if we wanted to, we could be God. If we wanted to, we could express our God self in such a beautiful way. See, now, you hear what I'm saying. Why can I say I'm God? I don't think of these things every minute of the day, but when I'm talking to you and telling you about these things, I've got a jillion more that are just as equally fun and make me think, oh, yeah. I had another teacher, and I was associate editor of the Science of Mind magazine and Religious Science, and her name was Gertie Dooley. And oh, did I hate her. My goodness. She was my assistant, and she had been the assistant editor of the magazine for 25 years. And then I came in new, and she was my assistant, you know. So she knew what had to be done, and she told me what had to be done. And she told me how it had to be done, and how perfectly it had to be done. And so, every day I'd go home from work, grinding my teeth. And then little by little, the God in me came forth and blend with everything she taught me to do, and I did it beautifully, perfectly. I could be proud of saying I was the associate editor of the magazine, and she was the assistant. But then, after I started writing my own books, I went back to get Gertie, because I wanted her to edit the book for me, because she is so good. And she had had a stroke, and so she wasn't at home. I wasn't able to do it. But, you know, we learn sometimes so late about the blessings that we are, how good we are. And you know what Gertie Dooley did to me? I had to edit my own books. I had to edit. You will read these books that I have here, if you read them. And as you read them, you will say, oh, this is good. Oh, this is neat. Oh, this is, this flows and flows and flows. Every one of those books, basically, was written from my mind to the IBM ESC typewriter, and then I had to retype it again so that it would fit into the column format, from here to there to there to the book to the publisher. You know, I proofed it to make sure that I didn't misspell something or something like that, but basically, the content, the way the flow came out, is the way it went into the book, and the way it went. Because Gertie Dooley taught me to listen to God inside of me. Because May Rowland taught me to listen to God inside of me. That I could do anything I wanted to do, and I could do it beautifully. And I am beautiful. Now, it's time for us to take our luncheon pause. But when we come back, we're going to go on to the third hour of our three-hour meditation, and in the third hour we're going to learn the thing that all of you want to do more than anything in the world: learn to listen to the divine within and hear. So that's what we'll do next. Have a lovely lunch. I love you.